bulletin, there was a handout that could be helpful. I'm going to move this step stool over so I don't trip over it. We thank the Lord for our children, and yet I thank the Lord that His Word is not just applicable to adults, it's available to all who will read God's Word and understand it. But I thank the Lord that many of the concepts, though there are many profound and powerful truths about our great God in Scripture, the things that we need to know for eternal life and the things that we must know for growing in our walk with God are simple for a child to understand. And so with the simplicity of our focus this morning, I hope that especially even as adults this morning, we realize that God's Word, what He calls us to do, is actually quite simple in understanding. But oh, it's so impossible to do in our own strength. Trusting and obeying God, and trusting and obeying His Word. Now, we've started a study in how to be a healthy Christian. We started this, I believe, back in April or March. And how can I be a healthy Christian? And so we have taken the little bumblebees have been helping us learn through and pointing us to how to things we should learn and things we should remember. I want to do a little review. Our big idea as we come to this study is this. God wants us to be, whether we're children or teenagers or adults or grandparents, wherever we are in our life, God wants His Christians to be a healthy Christian for the glory of God. Be a healthy Christian for the glory of God. That is our big idea. And really, that's what all of the New Testament and God's Word is pointing us to. But that's going to be the focus for our time together last time and even this morning and other times we focus on this particular topic. Now, the question is, well, how? How can I be a healthy Christian? I mean, if that's what I need to be, how can I be a healthy Christian? We looked at some of these answers, and we had these little bees helping us out from time to time and icons here for the children to understand that a little better. But I'm going to review really quickly. Last time we talked about, first of all, if we want to be a healthy Christian, we need to be ready to meet Jesus. We need to be ready to meet Jesus. That starts by knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, repenting of our sin, believing in Jesus Christ, accepting His gift of salvation and forgiveness. So we need to be ready. That's where it begins. Secondly, we need to be reading and listening to God's Word each day. And children, if you can't quite read yet, that's okay. Your parents can read to you. Or you can listen to God's Word in the car on a CD or on your, I mean, kids these days have even their own Kindles and pads and everything. We have so many opportunities to hear God's Word, but reading and listening God's Word each day, every day. It doesn't mean that we read God's Word, we have to read God's Word hours and hours every day. It'd be wonderful if you could. But every day we need to be reading God's Word and listening well to what God's Word has for us each day. We also talked about we need to be in prayer. We should be praying to God each day. And going to Him with our needs and our requests, but also going to Him with our praises, thanking Him for who He is and praying to Him each day. And we also talked about worshiping God. We should be worshiping God with His church each week. And so I thank the Lord for families and our church family who are encouraging our children even to be faithful in church and to be faithful in worshiping with God's church each week. And as we looked at these three last time, we saw that the first three really focus on personal worship, being ready to meet Christ, knowing Him as your Savior, praying to Him, reading His Word. Those are things that we should all be doing personally, but that last one was focusing on corporate worship. And that's focused on all when all of us get together, encouraging one another to keep doing these personal things in our lives for the glory of God. Now this morning, as we come to God's Word, we asked some questions. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Questions we asked are, last time, so are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready? You know your own hearts. I hope that you were all, this morning, were ready to meet Jesus. If He returned today, there'd be no shadow of a doubt that we'd be going to be with Him. Or if we were to die today, we know that we're going to be with the Lord in heaven because we're ready. We've received His gift of salvation. Are we reading and listening to God's Word each day? These are questions we asked last time. I hope you've been reading God's Word each day throughout this week. If you miss a day, okay, don't let that keep you from, well, I just failed, I'm not going to read anymore. No, keep reading the Word. Keep focusing on God's Word and keep being faithful. Are you praying to God each day? And I'm not just talking about three times at your meal, okay, if we eat three times a day. But are we praying to God throughout the day? Are we saying, Lord, would You encourage my heart? Would You help me learn to grow in Your Word? And then are you worshiping God with this church each week? Are you faithful to gather with the church? And not just on Sunday. Are you really able, willing, looking forward to gathering whenever the church gathers as much as possible? Are you able to gather with his church each week? Now, as we come to part two, let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 16 through 18. We'll have a word of prayer as we jump into this next. We're going to look at two more truths from God's word, how we can make sure that we are healthy Christians for the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray that God will guide our thoughts and our hearts as we gather together and hear his word and to study it. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts and lives for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for how you are continuing to show us Christ through your word. Father, I pray that you would help us, give us all a desire this morning, or continue a desire in our hearts to be healthy Christians for your glory. I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you'd encourage our hearts, you'd help us to ask the right questions, and you'd give us the right answers, we pray, according to your word, and help us to obey. We pray that, Father, we would obey. We know that you will always give us the truth we need. May you work in our hearts, your spirit work in our hearts to obey. I pray for our children here this morning. I pray that they would be growing in their knowledge of you and their relationship with you. We pray that if there's any children here or adults here who don't know Christ as their Savior, if they're not ready to meet Jesus, Father, I pray that today you would work in their hearts and work salvation through faith in their hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we come to part two, if you notice on your little handout in your bulletin, it starts with number 5. Okay, we're just going to continue what we've already been doing. We've looked at 4 ways that we can be a healthy Christian, and now we're going to look at a couple more this morning. Now, we just read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, and the question is still there. How can I be a healthy Christian? Well, how is God going to continue showing us from his word how to be a healthy Christian? Fifth is this. We should be thankful. We should be thankful to God each day. And not just being thankful for thankfulness' sake. Some people are always kind of thankful, and that's good. You know, it's always good. We have so much to be thankful for, the air we breathe. But as a Christian, we should be thankful to God every day. We see here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul is giving instructions to the church, and he's given a lot of exhortations, or a lot of commands right towards the end of this letter. And it starts with, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." We've already covered prayer as well, but we should be rejoicing. We should be thankful. And there's a reason why Christians can have joy. Even in the saddest of circumstances, we can still trust God and have joy because we know that God is good, that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And so Paul says, rejoice always and pray. Never stop praying. Keep praying. And then he gets to verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." There's a couple questions you may be wondering, and children may wonder this, or adults wonder this. I wonder this many times. One of those questions could be, what does God want me to do each day? What does God want me to do each day? Do you ever find yourself asking that question? Or maybe some days you think you know, but the next day you're kind of like, man, God, how do you... I have all these things that need to be done today. What do you want me to do? But what does Paul say here? What does the Spirit tell us in verse 18? Give thanks. This is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. And it could also encapsulate the rejoicing and the praying and giving thanks. But this is what God's will is for you. No matter what your day comes, no matter what comes to your plate that day, God says give thanks. Be thankful. Give thanks. The other day we were having a discussion, and one of our sons was having a difficult day, forgotten some things, and other things were going on, and I remember we were at lunch, and we just said, what do we have to be thankful? We started, what do we have to be thankful for? And when you think as a Christian, though, there is a lot to be thankful for, even when our days don't go the way we'd like. But the next question is, does God want me to be thankful most of the time? Or all of the time? Does God want me to be thankful just most of the time or all of the time. Well, what does 1 Thessalonians 18 say? Give thanks in most circumstances? Give thanks in all circumstances. You see, it says give thanks in all. We see these commands to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks. But it says in all circumstances. So does he want to be thankful all the time or just most of the time? What's the answer? All the time. Now, is that hard to do? It's really hard to do. But you know, I'm thankful that God never gives us a command without giving us the help to be able to do it. And the question that comes up as it came up to our family the other day was, what do I have to be thankful for? Because think of one of the worst situations that could happen. Or maybe some of you this week have gone through one of the worst weeks that you could have thought you'd had. Or maybe you're coming through a very difficult time. And at that time, you could be thinking, man, what is there to be thankful for in this? Maybe you've lost a loved one recently. Maybe you're really sick. Maybe you're coming out of a sickness. Maybe plans just changed for you that you just thought, oh, what is there to be thankful for in this? Well, let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be going to Ephesians a lot this summer as we go through Ephesians. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, I just want to read, and we're going to take our time really quickly to look at some things that we can always be thankful for. If you're a Christian, this is for Christians. If you're not a Christian, then really, you could be thankful for some temporary things, but houses can go away. Jobs can go away. Schools can close and you have to be virtual the whole time. Or schools can close up and not be there anymore. Money can go away. We all know that health can go away. But if you're a Christian, you can be thankful for truths that you have as a Christian that never go away. Because our thankfulness is based on who our God is and what he's done for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 starts with, and we'll read verses 1 through 3 to begin with. It says, and you were dead. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, and the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We'll stop there. This is a picture of us before we came to Christ. And I remember reading this as a child. I came to Christ at a young age. I believe I was 4 years old when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I've grown a lot in my faith since then. But I remember reading passages like this as a child and thinking, well, I didn't really have that bad of a life. I didn't commit a lot of crimes before I get. Is this just talking about people who really did some bad sins in their life before they became a Christian? No, the reality is this is how God views everyone before they come to Christ. Because we are all sinners. Remember our focus for this month, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. How many sins does it take to make you a sinner? One. And actually, even before that, we are sinners by birth. We come into this world as sinners. We can't help but commit sin apart from God and his grace. And so what Paul is saying here is, you all were dead. Now, I would read this sometimes as a child too and think, but I'm not dead, I'm alive. Look, I'm walking around, I'm breathing. But in my spiritual heart, spiritually, I was dead before God. I deserved to go to hell because of my sin. I was as good as dead in hell apart from Christ, even though I was walking and living and breathing. Now, that's the bad news. That's what we used to be. Aren't you thankful you're not there anymore if you're a Christian? Aren't you so thankful? And look how God looked at you. He called you children of wrath, sons of disobedience, dead. And this is what everyone is in this world if they don't come to Christ by faith and receive his gift of salvation. That's the bad news. But that's what makes the good news so much better. We come to verse 4. Look at verse 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, we sang that song, I'm a child of the King. He's rich and he's wealthy and all these things, but God is rich in mercy. He has an eternal supply of mercy and he's shown it to us. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. I bolded a couple things to talk about who our God is. He is a God of mercy, and he's loved us because he has a God of great love. And we were dead, but he has made us alive together by grace. He has saved us. No matter what circumstance we go through, children, teens, adults, if you're a Christian, you're saved by God's grace. He never stops loving you with this great love. He never stops showing you his mercy. And that great God who has saved you from your sin is one that he wants you to call out to him with thankfulness, even in the hardest of circumstances, because it gets your minds on him and his glory and his kindness. And you realize, oh, the circumstance is rough, but God hasn't stopped loving me. God sent his own son to die for me. He will never stop loving me. And I'm a child of his. He's going to help me through the circumstance. How can I be thankful to God for things that are difficult? Because God loves me and he never allows anything into my life that is not going to make me more and more like him. And he's going to help me through these difficult times. It goes on, though. It doesn't stop in verse 5. Let's look at verse 6. Let's read what verse 6 says. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. So that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let's stop there for a minute. That's a lot. You say, I don't feel raised. I feel like I'm still on the ground. Right, we're still on the ground. I hope we're all still on the ground. But what Paul is saying here is he's looking at, just as he raised us from the dead, in that sense, spiritual death, he's raised us to new life, and God views us almost as if we were in heaven. We're as good as there. And he has given us an inheritance. He's raised us and given us a future in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. Why? Why did God do this? Look at verse 7. So that in the eternal ages to come, he might show to the world, to all creation, we could say, the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, kids, if your parents or your grandparents get you a gift and they see you playing with it, it gives them joy to know that you like that. But there's also an inward, you know, almost like, I love that child or I love my grandchild and I gave them that gift, and that gift shows my love for them. When God has saved us and he calls us home one day to heaven, we are on display for all eternity for the whole universe to see the love and grace of God. To show how he took people who were lost and dead in sin, who were enemies of his, and how he worked in their hearts, opened their eyes and hearts to believe in Jesus, showed them his mercy, and we trusted him, and now we worship him, and we're his children. God looks to all the angels, to all the universe, and says, look at my church. Look at my children. I love them. I'm never going to stop loving them. Look at my kindness. And what happens there? God gets the glory. And we rejoice in him. This is what we have to be thankful for. This is how God views you, even in the hardest of circumstances. If you're a Christian, he's rejoicing that you're his child. Isn't it amazing that God is not ashamed to be called our Heavenly Father? Isn't that amazing? Jesus even says he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. That's amazing. When other people are ashamed of you, when other people may put you down, when other people turn their backs on you or do things unkind to you, you can be thankful even in those moments because you can say, but God has not turned his back on me. And God loves me with an everlasting love. And his kindness towards me is always present for all eternity. We always should be thankful to God. We should be thankful to God every day. But it doesn't end there. There's a couple more verses. It keeps on going. Verses 8 and 9. We see that Paul goes on to say, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Paul here is saying, you have a gift to rejoice in, Christian. And it's a gift of eternal life. You could not have saved yourself. You're dead. Have you ever seen, it is difficult when we go, if you have to go to a funeral, especially of a loved one, and you see that body of a loved one lying there. It is hard. And yet if we're Christians, we rejoice that they're a Christian, that they went to be with the Lord. But it's still sad. But when you go to a funeral or you see that body of someone lying there, they don't respond, do they? No matter what you may say, you may get in one last hug or one last kiss, they don't respond. Why? Because it's dead. That body's dead. It doesn't respond. Well, Paul says we were dead in trespasses and sins. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't respond to God. We couldn't do anything. We were so far gone from God and so dead in our sin that only God could save us. And he did it. That's what Paul's rejoicing. It's a gift. Just as if Christ came and raised that body from the dead, that's what he's done for us and our souls. And so when we die one day, our soul does not go to hell where all spiritually dead people go. Our soul goes to be with the Lord in heaven forever. And one day when Christ returns, our body is resurrected at the rapture and we go to be with him forever, body and soul connected again. It's amazing. You can be thankful for that, even in the death of a loved one. Even when we face death, we face hard times, he has shown us his grace. And it's nothing we could do. We don't boast. We boast in God. So be thankful. Be thankful to God each day. Quickly, we've talked about be thankful to God each day. Last point this morning. Another way, how can we be a healthy Christian? Well, number six, we should be eager, and keep your hands here in chapter 2 of Ephesians, but be eager to do God's good works. Be eager to do God's good works. You may be asking the question, you know, if you ever think of this, especially if you've been saved for some time, or maybe children, maybe you've wondered this question. Why did God save me and make me a Christian? You ever ask that question? Why did God save me? Why did he make me a Christian? Well, we just read a lot to show his kindness, to show his love, but we see in verse 10, come back to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Okay, how many of you children love Legos? How many of you adults still like Legos? Okay, admit it. Okay, Legos are still cool. Okay, maybe nowadays you're creating things on like Minecraft or other things. You make stuff online today or on your computer games. But when you make something and you're proud of it, you say, I made this. This is my workmanship. What Paul is saying here is for we, if you're a Christian, you're God's workmanship. He made you a Christian, and he's proud of the work that he did. And he's rightfully proud because he gets the glory for it. We boast in him, for we are his workmanship. But why? Why has God done this work? Verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here's why God has saved you. He has saved you, Christian, whether you're young or old, to do his good works, to go forward into this life. And as Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So why do we love God and love others as Christians on earth? Because we show people the glory of God and his righteousness and his love for them as his love flows through us to others, as his grace flows through us to others, as his truth. As we share his truth, it opens people's eyes. We don't save people. He saves people. But he uses us, amazingly, to do his good works to advance his glory in this world. That's why we obey God. We don't obey God because, oh, I have to. We obey God because we want to. Because he saved us from our sin. And we have these good works. And notice these good works in verse 10. When did God think about these good works for each Christian to do? If you're a Christian here, look what it says about the good works that God has for you, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So one question could be, why did God save me making a Christian? Well, so that we will live out his good works for his glory. But a second question might be this, why are Christians still left on earth here instead of going straight to heaven to be with Jesus after they're saved? I wonder this question too. Like if I'm saved and the only reason I'm saved is to go to heaven, then why when I get saved, boom, why don't I go right to heaven? If any of you wanted, please say some of you wondered that. Okay, I've wondered that before. Why are we still here? I mean, this world is a difficult place to live in as a Christian. It really is. There's so many temptations to sin. There's so many people who don't love Jesus. Why doesn't God just take us home? because he has good works for us still to do. And there are many people that he still wants to reach with the good news of Christ. He's a God of grace, a God of mercy, and he has given us good works to fulfill for his glory. And notice, he has given these good works so that we'll walk in them, we'll make them a way of our life, that word means. To walk in something, when Paul says that, it means to make it your way of life. To let the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, he wants all that to flow through us as a way of life so that we live for the glory of God. So we should be thankful to God each day, but we should also be eager to do God's good works. And you don't have to be an adult to do that. You can start that the minute you come to Christ. Whether you're a child, a teenager, or a grandparent, the minute we come to Christ, we have every reason to be thankful to God every day. And also, we should be eager to do the good works. You might say, well, how do I know what good works God wants me to do? Where does God show me how I should live for him? It's in his word, the Bible. And thankfully, as we study and read his word together with one another, we learn more and more what it looks like to be a healthy Christian. So as we prepare to close this morning, I just want to ask us a couple questions as we prepare to close. I'm having a little issue with this. Oh, last week, before we go, and children, we talked to, you were in junior church last week, but your parents have been talking about this already. Last week we went to James chapter 2, and we saw that true Christians will always pursue good works for the glory of God. So it's all through the Bible. And we don't do good works to be saved, right? We're already saved by God's grace. But now we live as Christians, eager to do the good works that God has prepared for us. So be eager to do God's good works. We've talked about several things. We've looked at, be ready to meet Jesus. Be reading and listening to God's word each day. Be praying to God each day. Be worshiping regularly with God's church each week. And then we look today. We need to be thankful to God each day, and we need to be eager to do God's good work. Here's the questions I have. Is it easier for you, and this is just search your own heart, the Lord knows your heart, but is it easier for you to be thankful or unthankful to God each day? Is it easier for you to be thankful to God or unthankful to God each day? If I'm honest, and I hope I'm always honest with you, there are times where I really struggle to be thankful to God. Because maybe my mind is not where it should be. Or I'm driving that car and someone cuts me off. And I am just angry, but I'm not being thankful that God protected me from not getting hit by that person. Instead of being, thank God, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to stop in time, it's more, man, I hope that person gets it. What did I just do? I had an opportunity to be thankful to God. And my family knows. I see a snicker over there. That's Dad, because that's me a lot, especially a former FedEx driver. Come on, get going. We got to get to the next light before it turns yellow. No. I think as we grow in our walk with God, and this is what's encouraging, the more we grow in our relationship with God, I think we find it a little easier and a little easier to be thankful to him, because we start to see what a good God he is. We learn more about how wonderful our God is and what he's protected us from and what he's doing for us, but it doesn't mean that there will not be struggles still to wrestle with unthankfulness. You know, some people, you know, the whole glass half full or half empty. Christians should always have a reason to be optimistic because of the glory of God. There's always something to be thankful for. So may God help us to learn and see it easier in our hearts each day to be thankful to him. Secondly, real quick, what has God done for you that you can tell others? I'm sorry, this is not what has God done for you that you can always thank him for and tell others about? Should read my notes, sorry. What has God done for you that you can always thank him for and you can always tell others about? Well, salvation is a great place to start. But then as we grow in our walk with God, don't miss opportunities to praise God and thank him publicly to others. You're at work, or you're at school, or you're with your friends on the ball team, or you're whatever. You can say, hey, you know, I am so thankful. Why are you thankful today? Well, I'm thankful that God saved me from my sin. I'm thankful that God's provided this for me. I'm thankful that God provided this for my family. We needed a new car, and God provided a vehicle for us. I'm thankful that God's helped my dad at whatever it might be. Share the good works of God with others. If we keep them to ourselves, we're not being the light God wants us to be. Adults, this goes for us. Let's set the example for our children. Be Be a thankful family, a thankful grandparent, a thankful church. Even in trials and difficulties, let's point people with thankfulness to our great God. And then the focus isn't on us and our problems, but it's on God and His glory and Him helping us through our trials. Thirdly, what good works does God want you to do for Him today, tomorrow, all the way until you go to heaven to be with Him? What good works? Well, there's a lot of commands in Scripture. It could get overwhelming sometimes, but they all boil down to these two realities. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love others as God's called you to love them. Grow in His grace. So as we read God's Word, we can read even, as we read God's Word each day, right? We should be reading God's Word each day with this question: God, how do you want me to obey your Word today? How do you want me to obey you today and receive your blessing and be a blessing to others? It gets exciting to live the Christian life when you're really in the Word and you're growing. But sometimes the Christian life, for some people, can be very frustrating. And I think many times that is because we're trying to live the Christian life our own way, and we're not trying to live it God's way. But the beautiful thing is, if you feel frustrated in your Christian life, you feel like you're just in a rut and nothing seems to be going right, maybe, just maybe, we need to get back to understanding what is the Christian life all about. And even these simple things, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you in His Word each day? Are you praying? Are you faithful with His church each week, throughout the week? If those things aren't happening, then you're probably not going to be thankful to God each day, and you're probably not going to be eager to do good works. So they all flow together, but they're so clearly laid out in Scripture over and over again that we won't miss them if we're reading through God's Word. Next time together, okay, Lord willing, this will be the first Sunday in July. Next time, we'll study about what a healthy, godly Christian looks like as a friend. Next time, we'll talk about how to be a godly Christian friend and how to make godly Christian friendships, because that's where it keeps going. And I hope this summer, even as we have more time to be with folks, that God guides us through that. But let's close in prayer, and let's pray that God will help us be a healthy Christian for the glory of God, because that's why we're here. That's why we exist. We exist for the glory of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for just the short time together that we could have to be in your Word. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our grandparents. Thank you for everyone who is a part of Open Door Bible Church. Father, I pray that you will help us to be faithful, to be following your will. Help us, Father, to be healthy Christians for the glory of God. Father, help us in the area of thankfulness. Father, I struggle with being thankful so many times because I see so many things I could be unthankful for. But God, help me when those times come to reflect on what I have to be thankful for in you. That you're in control. That you're always good. That no matter what changes in our country or in our life, that we can trust you. Thank you for our children. I pray that they will grow in their love for you and their relationship with you. I pray for our parents as they guide our children and give them strength and wisdom to make the right choices for their family. Even if it's the hard choices, it's the right choices. We pray that you would help us to be healthy for the glory of God. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen.